Brethren, before I'll move on to my subject of today's lessons, I would like to ask you the question, and I would like to hear the answer because that will affect on the subject I will be talking. Do you wish to enter into life? Not really. Do you? Yes. Okay, so if we all, our wish is to enter into life, I have a recipe. And I found it from the scripture in Matthew, 19th chapter and the 17th verse. And he said unto him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." So, our subject, I took from this verse and I named my subject, keep the commandments. Because if we'll keep the commandments, we'll be able to enter into life. But, brethren, let's take a look and let's check it out, how it all started. Why we have a commandment. Is it something new which appeared later in the history? If we look at the history of the Bible and of the creation of the world, of everything, we can see that the commandments are not actually recorded as a first thing in the Bible. So what happened? Why we have them? Were there before? Is it the beginning of the God's law? Where was the law? If we look at other great men which were before Moses, we can see that the God law existed before, and it was kept in those people's hearts. It was written on their hearts. They did not need to have a written law. They knew what God needs from them. And yet, then, later on, there was a need. People need something to be written and to follow what God needs from people. The big thing about the God's law is that law, God's law, does not change. And we know that God does not change either. If God will make a covenant with people, we can be sure that this will be fulfilled from the God's end. The only person who can break it is a man. So we can see that the law was not changed, but there was a need for Israel to have it written. And if we look at it, it was just written as a 10 commandments. We will look at those 10 commandments, and we will also look that those 10 commandments did not end at the Old Testament. The New Testament repeat, and it repeats those commandments and the law. And let's read the Matthew 5th chapter and the 17th verse, as it shows us that the law, God's law, does not change. And our Lord, once he came in, he did not change the God's law. Matthew 5th chapter, from 17 to 19 verse we read. "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of the commandments and so teaches, others shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Brethren, I think that we learned already that those 10 commandments are very important to us. And we can see that we should keep them in our minds. I'm pretty sure that everyone can enumerate them. Like first commandment, second commandment, third commandment, right? But let's go into the more details. What about is that first commandment? What about the second commandment? We can divide those 10 commandments into two groups. First, I divide them as commandment 1 to 4 and the second group 5 to 10. But after I was thinking about it, I divided a little bit different. First to 5 and 5 to 10. And the first group speaks about commandments related to God. And the second group, I think, relate more about people and our behavior towards people. How important commandments are, we already mentioned. And I would like to share with you a story from once I was a child. We had a Sunday school, and I remember two of my older cousins were leading those Sunday schools, and every Sunday school were starting with closed Bible, and now you have to repeat all the Ten Commandments. So you can imagine through all those years, it was a very, very good practice for all the children in our class where those commandments were in our hearts. Let's read all those commandments. They are recorded in Exodus 20 chapter and the first verse. And the God spake all these words, saying, I am Jehovah, thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. This is, rather, an introduction. Who is giving the commandments? They were not coming from the man, they came from God himself. The first commandment, thou shalt have no other God before me. One verse, short commandment, but very important. That's the first commandment. Second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, Jehovah thy God, am jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children, upon the third and upon the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing loving kindness unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Third, thou shalt not take the name of Jehovah thy God in vain, for Jehovah will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Fourth, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all the work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath unto Jehovah thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, thy son, thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor the cattle, nor the stranger that is with your gates. For in 6 days Jehovah made the heaven and earth and sea, and all that in them is there rested the seventh day, wherefore Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Fifth commandment, and this is a very important commandment, and the only commandment with the promise. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which Jehovah thy God giveth thee. 6. They shall not kill. 7. They shall not commit adultery. 8. Thou shalt not steal. 9. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. 10. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. These are 10 commandments given to Jews by the God. Later on, we know that Israel had many more law, many more explanations how to do it. And this is the problem with the detailed law which is written and is affecting every single part of your life is written, what to do, what not to do, versus the law which is supposed to be in our hearts. What happened then? Jews were told, you cannot travel on the Sabbath day. Yet they needed to travel. So they put the bottle water under their feet and they could ride in the train or in the car or anywhere else because they are on the water. So man is trying to go around this law. You can tell this law is written, there is an exception, and there are people are looking how to get around this law. If the law is in our heart, we would like to fulfill it from our heart. Let's look briefly, brethren, through our Ten Commandments. The first commandments is written about the God. Thou shall have no other gods before me. Who are our gods? We may say, oh well, we don't have problems with that commandment. I think that as the fleshly Israel had problems with it, and they actually were falling against this commandment, we as a spiritual Israel are in danger as well. So what could be that other God? It could be things, people, ideas who are taking place of God in our hearts. Take away our attention from Him and our dedication to Him. Brethren, there is many things which could do that. Sports, hobby, work, even our families. There cannot be anything and nobody who can place the take place of the God in our hearts. And the penalty of not fulfilling this commandment was death in the Israel. Commandment number 2. Serving or making likeness of God. And we know people would like to see. They would like to make a visual example of what they believe in. And throughout the ages, we can see how it was happening. Even in Israel, in Exodus 32nd chapter, 1 to 4th verse, and the 35th verse, we have a story about a golden calf. Once Moses was away, and he didn't come back for a while, they said, oh, we need something to follow. We need something to see. Moses is away. What can we do? And then Aaron took the gold and he made a gold calf. And they were stuck worshipping that. And in verse 35, we know what was the penalty for that. The penalty came upon the whole nation. And actually, the penalty in Israel for transgressing the second commandment was also the penalty of death. I think this second commandment also is showing that this is the lack of faith. It's not keeping again the God's law and God in our heart. We need to see something. And we can relate to that once in some countries more than the other. People would like to see and follow images of the saints. And they would like to have other saints and having the picture of them. I'm not an expert in that, but I know that probably Saint Christopher was responsible for safe driving. So they put this picture of that saint in their car to save them from the accident, and they floor the gas and go as fast as possible because he will save them. We know, brethren, there is another saint for probably saving you from thieves, from stealing, from sickness, from something else. Aren't we happy that we have just one saint who is taking care of everything? Our Lord. And we do not put those images, those other visual representations and praying to them and praising them. We have the Lord. We have Him in our hearts. And that's the second commandment, which we also may be in danger if we will not follow the Lord's commandments. Third commandment, not taking God's name in vain. And this is also the commandment which is very important to his children, to the followers of the Lord. God gave us his name. He wants people to know it. We heard in the previous discourse, Brother Bob, he mentioned that his name is mentioned about 5,000 times in the Bible. And yet we have to be careful, brethren. We have to have a respect to his name. If we look at Jews, once they were rewriting the scriptures, they had a separate pen, separate ink, once they were writing the God's name on the paper, making it very special, to have a respect to it. And some people are using the God's name so often that it sometimes falls into between the discussion with others into the profanity. We have to be very careful and use his name. I think we should use God's name. We should use Yahweh. He is our God. He gave us his name. But we should be very respectful to it, because this is the name of our Creator, the God who is the greatest of all. I would like to quickly mention the story about David and Goliath. You remember once David was a young boy. He was sent to his brothers to bring them food. And he came there, he was young, and he saw the troubled Israel going, you know, sitting there and talking, thinking what to do with those Philistines. And he saw his brothers and the army of Israel. And he saw the big man out there, standing there and cursing the God. And he says, so what's wrong with you? Just go and fight him. And they say, well, look at how big he is and so on. And we actually can read in 1 Samuel 17th chapter and 45th verse, what David said to them. We know the story. This is the story which we all learned on the Sunday schools, and it's very well known. He said, I will go. So they gave him the big armor and everything. Now it's too heavy. It's too heavy, but he can kill you. Well, I'll just take whatever I have. But this is the powerful statement which David made once he met the Goliath, once Goliath was making fun of him. Let's read in 1 Samuel 17, chapter and 45th verse what he said. Then David said unto Philistines, you come to me with the sword and the spear and the javelin, but I come into you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. He couldn't stand it. Somebody was speaking against the God, and David stand there just to fight against those who are making profanity against the God. I think it's a great example how we should also react to defend the name of our God. Fourth commandment. Keep the day for the God. One day per week. It's very little. We all need rest. God shows us that. And he wants to have us one day per week to dedicate to him. And it's harder and harder for us to serve the Lord that day. There is so many things we have to do. I must work that day. I have no choice. If I don't do this, something will happen. But I would like to share with you a short story that happened to me once. I had to work, right? Because I thought I had to work. And I went to the store to pick up 5 gallons of paint. And then, you know, I needed something else, and I opened up the door, and 5 gallons of paint slammed on the parking lot and flooded that. And I will remember that. It was Sunday. Again, there was another day, which is very simple work, nothing much, just, you know, half an hour work. Again, Sunday. And I have to confess, I was against that fourth commandment, just for half an hour. Turns out the whole day. Why? It was so simple. I think God had to show me. He showed me that, you know, don't do it. I will help you out, but keep the day holy. Fifth commandment. Honor father and mother. Brethren, these days, we can see that it's so hard, more and more difficult. We can see less respect to parents, less respect to elderly people. Covering it with the words, we are all equal. Doesn't matter, young or old. I have the same rights. Brethren, I think we should remember that this is not only society which requires respect to older people, respect to parents, but it's also the commandment that we have to respect the father, have a respect to mother. And now I will tell you why I thought that it's a good commandment to put in the middle and divide it, that this commandment relates to the people as the first one, and the last one also from the first part to the God. What is our prayer? Our Father who is in heaven. He is our Father. And we have also commandment, which is saying that we should honor him as well. And we remember Brother Peter discourse that we should do this to thy glory, to glorify him as a father. Let's move on to other commandments. Commandment number 6. Do not kill. Anyone has problems between the Bible students or his followers with killing? Okay, so we can move on, right? But, we as a new creation, we should look at it. Maybe this commandment is also relating to us. And I would like to move on and read the Matthew 5th chapter 21 to 22, which is extending this commandment actually to his people as well. Do not kill. Matthew 5, 21 to 22. You have heard that the ancients were told, you should not commit a murder, and whoever commits a murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever say, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Well, we will not elaborate about that, but that means death. So we can tell that, well, the commandment, which at the first we will say, okay, we have no problems with that, but once we listen our Lord's words, we can see that this actually may relate to us. And we may be found guilty of killing. And sometimes it could be done in kind of funny manner, or could be done by anger or anything else. We have to keep in mind that we may be found guilty of transgressing the sixth commandment. Hate is put in equal with killing. Let's read also 1 John 3rd chapter and 14th to 15th verse. 3rd chapter of 1st letter of John, 14th to 15th. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Strong words. Very powerful words which we have to be aware of, and we have to remember not to trust grace between them, against them. Commandments number 7. Do not commit adultery. This commandment is also extended not only to the physical transgressing of these commandments, but also to something else. In Matthew 5th chapter again, 17th to 19th, we read. I'm sorry, 5th chapter 27 to 28. 5th chapter 27 to 28. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman that lusts for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. This is, brethren, fleshly adultery. But I think we also should look for it as a spiritual fulfillment of this commandment. And looking elsewhere and making arrangements or resigning from the God's law and making arrangements with other may also put us in the spiritual adultery. And I think the beautiful examples I would like to give is written in the book of Ruth, 2nd chapter 8 to 9. We know this story when Ruth was picking up from the Boaz field, and let's see what Boaz told her. Ruth 2, 8 to 9. Then Boaz said to Ruth, listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw. This is very important to keep the spiritual life also pure, which sometimes it may appear very beautifully and may draw our attention, but we have to make sure that we will draw from the Lord's field. Number 8. Do not steal. Brethren, this commandment also is appearing to me as commandment which may also be dangerous for us as Lord's followers. The stealing is taking away goods from others. Stealing of a reputation of others. Stealing of their good name and taking away their appearance of good. We should go to the brother and talk to him if we can see something wrong. We shouldn't spread gossips. Commandment number 9. No false witness. In other words, also, I think we can say simply, do not lie. We know who was first liar. It was Satan. He said to Eve, thou shall never die. And the lie is actually abiding with human race until today. Brethren, we know the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5, 5th chapter 1 to 5, what happened. It was not about that they didn't give everything back, all the money. Nobody was forcing them to do that. They just said, we gave everything and they kept something. It was stealing, but more of that, it was also a lie. Brethren, we know that the biggest liar was Satan, and what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. I remember, not sure if in English language is the saying as well, but there is a saying like word of knight. And knight as a man with armor. In the Middle Ages, those people were very highly positioned, and if they said a word, they kept it. What's happening today, I think we all know. Nobody is keeping their words. You need one witness, second witness, one ID, second photo ID, and something else, and they have to do then, once you sign everything in the eyes of witness, they will have to have about a couple of weeks to see if you are really the person who you are, and they have to check if you said is really true. Well, if we think about it, people's word right now means nothing. And this is because of Satan. This is what he said in the Garden of Eden. The lie. Nobody is trusting anyone anymore. Brethren, first 9 commandments, all of them, the penalty of those commandments was death. And we read about greatest commandment, we read about least commandment. Well, the human nature is to put something very important at the beginning and then maybe least important at the end. But how can we figure it out? Why was that? I think maybe because 10th commandment, there was no penalty of death on that. But why? Why all of a sudden the last commandment, there was no death penalty for that? The 10th commandment reads, do not covet. And this is something which you cannot see. So you cannot really punish that person. But I call this commandment secret commandment. It's happening in people's heart. And this is commandment which is the beginning, is the way to sin. And we remember how was that in the first story with Adam and Eve. And all other commandments are based on this commandment. It's just the beginning. Once we will have this commandment in our heart, we will not covet, many, many things will then follow in the right way. Keep keep, brethren, our thoughts clean and pure. So our Lord was asked, and we may ask ourselves, which is in, we can read it in Matthew 22, chapter number 22, and 35 and 40 verse. Chapter 22 and 35 to 40. Since the time is up, we remember how was it like they came to our Lord and what our Lord was asked. So which one is the greatest commandment? And our Lord, again, He showed us two of those. Love thy Lord, thy God, with all thy heart. Commandment 1 to 5. And love thy neighbor as thyself. Thyself. 5 to 10. If we love God, we'll fulfill. We'll have no other gods. We'll not make anything which is against the second commandment, will keep his name, keep his day holy, and we will worship him as our Father. Love thy neighbor as thyself. We'll have no problems with other commandments, even 10th commandment. If we love someone, we'll not covet. We'll be happy that someone has this or that. And I just would like to emphasize one word from the second commandment which our Lord gave us. Loving thyself. Brethren, do you love yourself? It's a question which sometimes may be puzzling us. Well, I don't really like myself, but we should love ourselves. Because if we don't love ourselves, how can we love others? According to our Lord said. But we should not love ourselves as our earthly vessels, but we should love ourselves as a new creation, as a candidate to become the royal priesthood, something which is the greatest treasure in the world, being a kings and priests. We are choosing to follow this road. This is something really big. And once we will understand it, we will know that loving ourselves is important. If we have a wound, if we cut ourselves, we are quickly rushing and putting the band-aid on it and just cover it. But we don't do another thing. We don't put the finger, oh, here you wound yourself, and stick the finger to the wound and show it. See, this is right here. We have to think about it if we will do that to ourselves. And then we should help others and put the band-aid on somebody else's wound and help each other to fulfill all those commandments and to make sure that we will help each other on this run to finish the run to the life and win this battle of life, which I think we can see that nothing changes. Our God gives us a promise about His kingdom, and it will happen. And He will fulfill His law, and He didn't change that. But we are very thankful to our Lord that He gave us His Son. Because if we look at the commandments from the new creation standpoint of view, it's even harder to fulfill them than for Jews. Yet they couldn't fulfill them themselves, and it's even harder for us. But with the Lord's help and His offer on the cross, we'll be able to have our robes clean and white. And I wish, brethren, that this hope will stay with all of us, and we are all asking our Father to forgive us our shortcomings, our sins, and thankful to our Lord that we have Him as our brother who put His life on the cross for us so we could look good and clean before our Father through His offer. May our Lord add His blessings.